10 minutes past 2. It's James and Judy here with the afternoon show, and we're very, very lucky because we've got Rita Harman and John Trotman in here from the Samaritans on the Isle of Wight. Rita has been working here on the Isle of Wight with the Samaritans for 50 years as one of their volunteers, and obviously is the longest running volunteer. And John is the chairman of the Isle of Wight Samaritans. Welcome to the studio. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
It's pleasure.
Great to be here.
And we're really interested in what you're doing on the island with the Samaritans. And I think we're going to spend until about 3 o'clock talking to you about that, if that's all right with you.
Yep.
Tell us, how many of there are you on the island at the moment?
Well, there are about 42, 43 listening volunteers.
Yeah.
Those are people who go and man the phones and woman the phones and look after the emails and the text messages and the walk-in visits as well. So active listening volunteers. And then there are 10 or a dozen support volunteers. That's people who run our shop. Our computers, our building, all the treasurer, the backup side. So where we need more, incidentally, need more listening volunteers and we need more support volunteers. So one of the reasons for being here today, and thank you for having us both, is to see if any of your listeners might be interested in supporting the work of Samaritans actively.
Yes, I'm sure there will be, John, and perhaps we could come back to that at the end of this interview. I just wondered if I could discuss with you a couple of misconceptions that I had about the Samaritans, and I've found out that I was wrong through looking at your website earlier today. And that, first of all, I thought that you were a telephone only service, but I've learnt my mistake this morning, and I understand that people can email you, they can write to you, and they can actually pop in and meet a listening volunteer. And I know that one of your key tenets is that of confidentiality, that people don't have to disclose their names or their personal circumstances or indeed any personal information. So I wonder if you could perhaps just could run through for us, for the benefit of our listeners, what would happen if someone who is in distress wants to contact you. And that sort of leads me onto my other misconception, which was that I thought that you were a service for the suicidal, but you're not. You're there for anybody who is worried or anxious or needs to talk.
That's right. And Rita was in almost at the beginning of the Samaritans movement, which Chadvar has established, very much as a service to help those who are suicidal. Mm. Since then, the movement's grown and has extended its brief, really, to support people in emotional distress of a more wide-ranging kind. So that now, of our nationally over half a million calls and contacts a year, about 20% of those will be people who are actively suicidal. Mm. But others aren't at that stage, and maybe not at that stage yet in some cases. So we listen to anyone who phones us up. We wouldn't turn people away. But of course, we're there to support people who are profoundly distressed, and that's our mission.
And the other thing I found interesting from looking at your website earlier was that you offer this service to the under 18s as well, and that you safeguard their confidentiality as well, so that you wouldn't report your conversations with them to their parents or their guardians.
No, that's correct. I'd just like to add a little bit about the suicidal things, because at one time we were almost isolated in the sense of just suicidal callers, and then we realised that people felt that they perhaps couldn't call if they weren't feeling as bad as that. So we now have the happy situation, I think, where people realise that we are prepared to talk about the very worst feelings that they may have, as well as those that may be just what other people might regard as somewhat trivial, but if it worries them, then it's important to them. But the young people, I think, is particularly important, because the confidentiality has to be watertight for whomever rings. And whenever I've given talks about Samaritans, I've always been asked, but surely in this situation you would have to tell the police, and surely in that you'd have to speak to someone. The reality is we don't. But that's the bond that we give to people, that we will not divulge anything they tell us at all, no matter how young they may be. you know, whatever the situation, however horrific it may sound. Mm. It would one break from that confidentiality and nobody would call us.
Yes, absolutely. And that is key, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think also something that strikes me as very important, Rita, is the point you made that people can call you whatever they're worried about, whether
That's right.
they're really desperate or whether they're anxious and concerned. And I think what worries some people to a small extent might worry somebody to a greater extent.
Absolutely.
I mean, people vary so differently. So people shouldn't be afraid to call you or feel that they're wasting your time if they have a concern which they feel is trivial, but would be trivial to other people, but is of huge import to them.
People will often say, I'm not suicidal. They'll start by saying that. Or they'll say, I'm sure you have more important things, more important problems, more difficult. And we always say, no, nothing's more important than your situation because that's important to you. You picked up the phone, therefore it's something that worries you, therefore it's important to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Rita, we've got a track that you asked us to play. It's
yes.
Bette Midler,
yes.
Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yes.
Does it mean a lot to you?
It does. I love Bette Midler because I love her quirkiness and her bizarre behaviour, but I also love the way in which she sings this song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very heartfelt, I think, and I absolutely love listening to it over and over again. So thank you very much for playing it for me.
Brilliant. Well, let's listen to Bette Midler, and we'll be back in a few moments. Midler and Wind Beneath My Wings. It's James and Judy here. It's 22 minutes past two, and we're very lucky to have in the studio with us Rita Harman and John Trotman from the Samaritans, and we're going to be talking to them about all the issues relating to the Samaritans on the Isle of Wight until 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Rita, I wonder if you could perhaps explain to us briefly what sort of problems people call into the Samaritans with that they feel the need to discuss.
Anything that you can think of. Mm. Relationship problems, marital problems, sexual problems. It didn't used to be so much financial, but now people have a lot of financial pressure, so everything is worse. Loneliness. I'm always very concerned about lonely people because it's I find a fine line between loneliness and despair and suicidal thoughts and feelings. And we have an elderly population. Often people come down with high hopes of retiring here, find themselves alone, and often not gregarious, not necessarily able to make friends very quickly, and sometimes wonder how they can become part of a community again. So I'm always very glad when people join their groups and get at least a once a month meeting. But this grief, you know, loss of someone loved dear to you, often people find it hard to talk to them about that.
Yes.
And they sometimes I've heard across the street because they don't know what to say.
Yes.
And really all we need to say is we're thinking about them.
Yes.
And how are they coping.
Yes, I mean, it often seems to me that death is the final taboo in our society, and people do want to express their sympathy and to empathise, but as you say, just don't quite know how to go about it, and that's so hard for the bereaved.
I think the Victorians had it right, you know. They made a big thing about it, didn't
yes.
they? We had the horses and the plumes and the,
yes.
and the armbands to say they were mourning and be allowed to mourn.
Yes, and there was a ritual, wasn't there?
Yes.
You wore black for a certain
that's
period
right.
after
that's
a bereavement,
right. yes.
and then you moved into purple, didn't you?
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And that was also a marker for other people, so they knew what you were going through and
yes.
would treat you accordingly.
Yes, and you were allowed time.
Yes.
We don't give people time these days.
No, I agree. I think in today's society you're expected to sort of bounce back pretty soon after the funeral, aren't
well,
you?
I think people say life goes on, you know. It never does go on the same again when you've lost somebody.
I think that's true. I think you never actually get over it, do you?
No.
But you do adapt. But you know, it's marvellous for people that your service is there and that they can talk through their feelings.
And we're happy for them to talk over and over again as many times as they need to.
And that's what's marvellous as well, isn't it? Because when people have been through an event like bereavement, or any sort of life event, you do sort of need to repeat yourself, don't you, somehow? It's a sort of a therapy, just getting it out of your system by talking about it over and over.
You don't get over it, as people say.
No, and I think that's the thing about your service, isn't it? You are, you listen and you don't judge.
Yep.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Well, John, are we going to be talking to you after the advertisements about the Isle of Wight Samaritans and the appeal that you've got, and also about some of the new services the Samaritans are offering? Before then, there's a track I know that you particularly like. It's Patsy Cline, and She's Got You. So let's listen to that now, and we'll be back after the ads.
I've got your picture.
One Republic and Secrets. And secrets are something the Samaritans are very good at keeping. We've got the Samaritans, John Trotman and Rita Harmon, with us until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you for being here. We were talking about specific problems that people face when they come to the Samaritans, and some of those which are specific to the Isle of Wight. But Judith, I think prisons are a big feature of the Isle of Wight, aren't they?
Yes, they are, James. And before we ask Rita to tell us a little more about that. I was just wondering whether John would like to say a little more about the subject we were discussing while we were listening to the music, which is that of depression and the Samaritans.
Right. Thanks, Judith. Rita was talking about some of the situations which, if you like, obviously, in inverted commas, cause people problems, bereavement, relationship breakups, and so on. But of course, sometimes people will contact us and they don't know why they feel as desperate as they do. And sometimes that can be the most challenging of all.
Yes.
And depression, if you like, falls into that category. Very often people who are suffering from depression can't explain why they feel as dark as they do. People like Stephen Fry and others recently have done a really good job, I think, in drawing the public attention to just how serious an illness depression can be. And what we do in that situation, as with all the other situations that Rita has referred to, we're there to listen. We're both naturally pretty garrulous people, as you'll have picked up. But when we're on the phones, we're there essentially to listen. We'll occasionally prompt people and occasionally ask questions, but essentially our service there is to listen, not to advise, but to give people the opportunity of saying how they feel and work through their feelings with us. And we find that's the key Samaritan philosophy, really.
Yes, I can see it must be very frightening if you're feeling very down and lost and alone and you can't articulate why, you can't explain to yourself why. To have someone listen to you talk through that must be an immense support, and just to know that there's someone at the end of the phone or the email or in the centre there just for you.
And somebody who is not going to pass that on.
Yes.
Sometimes people are socially isolated.
Yes.
A lot of people living on their own and so on. Some people are isolated by bullying. A lot of the young people who contact us, if you like, could describe themselves as being isolated like that. And some people are isolated because they don't feel able to talk to anybody else in their immediate circle about their situation and their feelings, and so phoning us gives them an opportunity to talk safely. So in that sense, a lot of people are isolated. They can't talk to the people close to them about what's troubling them.
Yes, and I think particularly in a small community like the island, confidentiality is really key. It's key anywhere, but particularly here.
Absolutely fundamental. And when we're talking to our new volunteers, we're stressing this. You know, you might go home after a difficult shift and your partner may say, how was it? Well, other than it's been a good day or a bad day, we don't talk about anything to do. And that's very, very important. It's a complete glass wall, if you like, between Samaritan's life and the outside world. And that's very, very important that our callers know that and trust us.
Yes, exactly, and incredibly reassuring. Thank you, John. Rita, if I could ask you a little bit, please, about your work in prisons. I know that you were awarded the MBE in 2002, principally, I believe, for your work in prisons.
Yes.
And I understand that thanks to you and all your work here, that the suicide rate in the prisons here has been substantially reduced.
Well, we hope that we can continue to make that contribution, because it's very important, I think.
And I think prisoners are probably one category of people who by their very physical circumstances, must feel incredibly isolated.
Yes.
Isolated from society and from their families, many of whom I suspect are probably on the mainland.
Yes.
So I wonder if you could perhaps describe to us the work you do specifically in prisons.
Well, we select prisoners. People will volunteer, but we're very our selection is very rigid, and they have to do 8 weeks of training, 2 hours a session, and ongoing training as well as we do in the very same way that we're trained. We felt, well, years ago when the first person of 16 took their own life, it was felt that Samaritans felt that it should be prisoners who listened to prisoners, and that's why we became involved. On the Isle of Wight, of course, people have an extra problem because families often can't visit.
Yeah.
So they miss that contact, that face-to-face contact. Mm. And a lot of those people who volunteer do so because they can relate to the despair and the desperation they felt when they moved into a new prison or even a second prison, a new establishment. Mm. And they do it because they want to support other people. They get no reward for it. They don't get telephone cards or tobacco anyway, so the motives are not in question. And they work hard. And, you know, when you're sitting and you have a pretty grim life and you're wanting to watch a big match on the television and you get called out by somebody else wanting to talk to you, they go quite willingly, you know, as we would.
Mm.
So that's quite a commitment for them to make.
It must be, but I guess they must benefit so much themselves from it to feel that they're helping
Absolutely.
Their fellow prisoners and with
Absolutely.
This sort of peer group support. And as you say, prisoners supporting other prisoners so they understand
yes.
their particular circumstances.
And the same confidentiality applies.
Yes.
They must tell us because we go in and give them a support meeting so that we know that things are going well.
Yes.
And if they were not going well, then they would leave the group because their behaviour on the wing also has to be impeccable.
Yes,
because it's about what's perceived. And if they're perceived to be chatting or being unkind or insensitive, then that isn't the right image for listeners. So they would have to go. So they're aware of that. And they guard their integrity very, very highly.
That's amazing. It must just give them such a sense of purpose.
I think it does.
And perhaps be a real help to the listeners themselves when they leave prison and go back into society.
And to the officers, you see,
yes.
because if they're spending a few hours listening to a prisoner who's distressed, that would be time that an officer might have to do that. And they are very hard-pressed. The officers
yes.
are very hard-pressed. They're short-staffed.
Yes.
And that's a great help for them too.
And the officers won't understand the position of the prisoners as a fellow prisoner would.
Yeah. Well, it's fascinating. Rita, can we come back to prisons a little bit later?
Of course.
John, I know we're going to be sort of talking about some of the new services that the Samaritans offer in just a minute. First, we're going to be listening to another track that you particularly like. It's Adele, Someone Like You. Why did you choose that track?
Well, I think a bit like the Patsy Cline, really. They have what you might call a Samaritan's slant to them. They have to do with heartbreak and depression and the isolation which comes from that. I think Adele managed to touch quite a lot of people with the honesty of her voice and the honesty of her approach to these situations. I think people are moved by her.
Brilliant. Well, let's listen to her now. And Eyes Wide Open. It's 8 minutes to three. It's James and Judy here. We've got John Trotman and Rita Harmon in the studio with us from the Samaritans. We've only just got a few more minutes before we have to wrap up, unfortunately. It's been a fascinating programme, I think, talking to you about what you're doing with the Samaritans on the Isle of Wight. And I think Judy and I have learned sort of three new things, I think, about the Samaritans today. One is that, you know, you don't have to be suicidal to talk to the Samaritans. You know, you can just be in difficulty. And I think that's an amazing thing, because I used to do restructuring work with companies, and the most annoying thing was people would only ring when they'd run out of cash, when, you know, they knew problems were building at an earlier stage. So it's fantastic that, you know, when people just have problems, they can call you. But they don't just have to call, do they? That's another thing we kind of realised.
That's right. We have an email service. People
yeah.
can write to us, and people can come into the branch, or also people can text us as an SMS service as well.
Yeah, and there's a huge amount of confidentiality, isn't there, if they call you? I think it doesn't even go on their phone bill.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, we've recently moved away from our callers having phone bills either, because we now run a free call service.
Right.
That's an initiative introduced only in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So now anybody who calls us will be calling us for free. If I can give you that number.
Yes, please. Yes.
It's 116-123. 116-123. And people can ring us, as you say, at any time, day or night. We're part of a national service.
Yeah.
So people phoning us will get through to a Samaritan. It might be a Samaritan on the Isle of Wight. It might be a Samaritan on the Isle of Skye.
Right.
We're part of a national network, which is collectively staffed 24 hours a day, every day of the year.
Brilliant. And Rita, sort of finally, the one thing we found out finally is that you need more volunteers.
Absolutely. Lots more volunteers.
And it's a very responsible job. So what do you do to sort of help people? I'm sure people at home think, oh, you know, I couldn't do this because it's just too much to actually have that life and death responsibility.
I think the great thing is the backup, the support that we have. Always at every term, we have somebody there who's there behind us, leaders who are on supervising the shift at home, ready to be taking a call at the drop of a hat. The end of the shift, we debrief so we don't go home and worry families with any of our concerns and our anxieties. We have ongoing support sessions all along the line, training, more training, and more support. And that's not just the official line, but individually, when you're on duty with somebody, that person next to you, opposite you in the desk, that's the first port of call. You talk to them if you've had a call that's been worrying.
Yes.
Right from the word go, that support is there, inbuilt.
And there's 10 weeks, is it, of training right up front?
That's
yes.
right. We take a huge pride in the thoroughness of our training. And we like to think that people are learning skills which will be transferable into real life. The skills of listening
yes.
sensitively, you know,
yeah.
are transferable outside. But yes, 10 weeks, and then you'd go on with a mentor
yeah.
Supervising you on the phones. And then after that, there's some more training. So typically, after 6 months, one would then be a fully fledged Samaritan.
Yeah.
But we're all being supported. Rita, who's been in for 50 years, she'll be supported by the organisation, as will a completely new volunteer.
And if people at home want to become volunteers, who should they get in touch with?
Well, there's a huge amount of information on Samaritans. Just Google Samaritans and you'll learn about the whole organisation, and you can apply there.
Okay.
Or indeed you could put something through our letterbox in South Street in Newport, just
yeah.
right next to the fire station. Or you could telephone us, 524-914, 524-914, our local number, and there'd be an answer phone there. Leave your details and one of us will get back to you.
Fantastic. Well, obviously, being a volunteer is very good for you, because Rita's been doing it for 50 years, and she certainly doesn't even look 50 years old, so I don't know how that works. Anyway, Rita, John, it's been fantastic having you in the studio. Just give you that free phone number again, if anything's affected you in this show. It's 116-123.
Can I just make a comment about the local number? I think it's 524-914. Did you get that?
524-914. Yes, for the volunteers, of course. Yes. Thank
okay,
you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Well, here's Sheena Easton, and we'll be back just after 3.
Thanks.